My name is Frank Bastida, and I'm here along with Irene Porcarello. Right now we're at the Hidalgo Park in front of the statue that was dedicated, the first park named after a Mexican hero in Houston. Miguel Hidalgo, he's the one that cried for the victory. You know, they gave the grito de independencia. Viva Mexico. Let's fight.
Commemorating the 180th anniversary of the Mexican independence. Right behind in the statue.
Well, baseball, Little League baseball field.
President of the Little League.
Okay.
Yes. How you doing over here? New fields. Remember, the Astros paid for our fields, so we got new fields.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Every day, so.
That's wonderful.
Well, put it this way. We're hosting the T-ball championship.
Uh-huh.
And a coach from Friendswood, he goes, hey, are you from Brazil? I said, yeah, I'm the president. He goes, man, you don't know how I feel right now. He goes, this is my grandson, and when I was little, I used to play here.
Oh my God!
So this was almost 50-something years ago that he used to play here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, another man started naming some of the teams, Cats and everything.
I said,
that was before me. I said, my dad's been here like 30, 40 years, but he goes, no, he was there. I was maybe 55, 60 years ago. So two older men, they were so happy because their grandkids were playing here. And they got him, they were able to tell their grandkids, look, this is where I started playing baseball and stuff, bringing my grandkids to play at this park. So he goes, they're very happy. So
that's wonderful.
When I had things we're doing our fields, we didn't do it as big. Next year, I want to do it big, really
good,
big.
Good.
Okay, all right, it was nice seeing you.
So anyway, before the baseball field, not only do we celebrate, but on Monday nights, remember we used to have movies. Three movies here, everybody would come and see. That was before the driving day. Mexican movies, American movies. Yeah. So this is how we enjoyed. This was our park. But this, nobody called it Parque Hidalgo. Everybody called it the Mexican park.
The Mexican park. That's what I remember, the Mexican park.
Mm-hmm. So where are you going? I'm going to the Mexican park.
Frank, the way I connected to the park was that I was going to Franklin Elementary, which is not too far from here, like maybe about 2 or 3 minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Franklin and also at Edison Junior High. But my house was like, we were down to 80th, and this is like now 69th Street or 70th Street. So we were more to the end of the ship channel. But my friends that lived in the area said, come on, you're going to the Mexican park. And they would bring me over here in the afternoon. I said, no, I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to go straight home. And we would come here, but it wasn't all this nice the way they would
say it.
It wasn't like this. Children, baseball field, and the swings, and a little bit of this water sprinkling. It's beautiful. And the gazebo was not here at the time.
I can remember back in 1936, the people, the residents of Magnolia Park, built the sidewalks. On weekends, they bought the material and all that, the sidewalks all around. Because at that time, they had these clubs like Sociedad Mutualista, and they had the Woodman of the World and the LULAC. They would all get together, and each club would donate so much for them. But I'm talking about the days that there was a lot of discrimination. Actually, we didn't get what we thought we were supposed to be getting in tax money coming back to us.
They used to have the sanitation project here for the city of Magnolia Park.
And all the smell was around here. A lot of people said that's the reason they gave it to the Mexicanos, on account of all the smell. So that was the way it was. Because I can remember that these tracks that go all the way up there, if you wanted to go to Franklin, you have to leave this side of the tracks. If you live on the other side of the tracks, you have to go to De Zavala.
When you lived on the other side of the tracks, which is to my left right now, after so many years, they allowed us from that side to come to Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, you had to go to De Zavala, and they used to call it the Escuela de los Piojos, the school of the nits, the bugs, hair bugs. So if you went to De Zavala, it was a negative. If you went to Franklin, it was okay. So there was that difference of De Zavala school and then the Franklin school.
And let me tell you a story about that. If you got caught with bugs in your hair, you got sent home. And a lot of the families said there was no medicine for bugs at that time. They used to wear the chinos,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
fine tooth combs, and then they still couldn't get rid of them. There were even people using kerosene, putting kerosene.
Yeah.
And then if they still couldn't get it, they would cut all the hair off. And that's when they start calling pelones.
Oh, yeah, pelones.
Yeah, burr head.
Burr head, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, when we went to school at Jay Zavala, so we got caught speaking Spanish on the school grounds in the classroom, they would paddle us. So that was part of the day that we spent in school.
I had that experience when I was at Franklin. We were speaking Spanish, and then for speaking Spanish, we were told that we needed to face the wall with our nose to the wall, facing the wall. And so during lunch hour, the students would walk by because they knew that we were the kids were being punished for speaking Spanish. So we had to stand there for 1 hour during the lunchtime, so we didn't get to go to lunch.
Uh-huh.
And so we would be standing facing the wall, and maybe about six or seven students because we spoke Spanish.
Okay.
So growing up, we would tell our parents, I know I told my mother, I can't speak to you. And she was, you know, monolingual, Spanish speaking only, and she would say, talk to me. And then I would tell her, no, I'm not going to talk. I can't talk to you. So I would speak to her in English, but she didn't understand the English. And so I would talk to her in English, she'd talk to me in Spanish, and I would say, I don't want to talk with you. And so we grew up with, you know, those kind of feelings about not wanting to do the bilingual part of it. And so that's why you have a lot of many Mexican Americans during my time, because I was in school in 1950-55, I was here in the elementary, and we were not fluent in Spanish. We were maybe fluent in English, but not Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when you run into Mexican Americans about my age time, they'll say we don't speak Spanish, and it was because of the rules and the policies of the school system.
That's right.
I went on, though, to take Spanish, because then I needed to learn the correct Spanish, because my mother didn't speak the correct Spanish either.
Uh-huh.
It was, it was literal, because we had to speak more of the, not the Castilian Spanish, it was just a barrio.
Barrio, Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex, yeah. So I had to unlearn that to learn the correct Spanish over time.
And now in our eating habits, I went to a school that I would say during the winter, or any time, there would be about 30% of the kids that went barefoot. Because, you know, it was during the Depression. And not only that, I mean, 100% of the kids that went to this bottom were Mexican American. When I went to Edison, we could go eat our lunch, and we brought our lunch from home. We could go to the cafeteria and eat our lunch, or you bought the lunch there, one of the two. But we would stay outside because we took tortillas, and we were embarrassed to eat tortillas. And then it got to where some of our Anglo friends wanted a tortilla with Mexican food, and they would trade a roast beef sandwich for a tortilla. Yeah, so that's where they started eating. Even peppers. Yeah. So that was the way it was during the school year. How about yours?
Oh, no. Yeah. We were a little bit more. At that time, we were more sharing of food and all that. So it was okay. You were like maybe in the 50s when you were the high school. I was at that point still in the elementary.
No, I was going in the 40s.
Oh, were you? Okay. All right.
Before the war.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Before Second World War. Okay, would you like to go around here so I can show you the turning basin?
This way.
We're walking through the gazebo. We're on what is called JWPB Drive. It used to be called before Harbor Drive. Mr. Peavy was a union leader here with the African Americans for years. Down the port, I'll show you where they had the union hall. And for years, he was the president of the union of the ILA, International Longshoremen Association. So they named this street after him. Well, this was one of the lovers' lanes. Yeah. And of course, late at night. But during the day, they would come and play and see the movies. Now you get a lot of people every day.
Now this street here used to go to the back of the neighborhood here at one time, didn't it?
Yeah, This used to go all the way to 75th before they blocked it. And let me show y'all, you see right there the railroad tracks. You can see pillars. Right around here is where I learned how to swim. Because we were discriminated. We couldn't go to Mason Park and swim.
So you were able to go to the bio there, and at that time the water was not this bad, right?
Oh, no, it was cleaner, you know?
Yeah. And so did y'all cross the trestles?
Here's what we had. We had, there was a bunch of trees on that side and on this side. We got a cable from this side, high and low, on the other side, another tree. We put a pipe and a cable and a sling. So the pipe was over there, somebody had to send it back, all the way back, and somebody would catch it. Then he put gloves or put a rag or something, and he'd go. But before you got over there, it got real hot, so you had to let go. So he went into the water. So that's how we got across. Yeah, but a lot of them lost their lives there. Drowning, on the step poles.
Yeah, it's deep water, because I know that the barges still go through
here. Yeah, they go through
and
there.
They pass through here more or less, here's 69th Street. They go in more into town. So this is still deep water.
Oh, yes. And then you have some canoes. And then you have a guy from the city that's always cleaning up the site.
Yeah. Some of this
you get a better view from the other side.
Yeah. But some of this property is owned by Port of Houston.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know that place that I showed you where the Coast Guard used to be? You know, if they're here, they're fighting. They want to take those worth them off and make it into, a botanical garden.
Yes.
Look at all that space they have right there. Why can't they do it there?
This is a perfect location.
Yeah, and the landscape.
And this is very natural. So Frank, when we look at the gazebo, when did that come about, the gazebo?
That's when they built the Mr. Lozano.
Mr. B. Lozano.
He's the one that architect. She wanted to make it look like wood. And that's the original color. That's the original color of when it was first erected.
It's beautiful.
It's a very, very... even Oscar Holcomb spoke from there when he was running for mayor, you know.
It's a lot of memories, huh?
Oh, God.
Wonderful memories.
Yeah.
And still looks so modern. I mean, when you look at it, it's traditional, but yet it looks like today. It's a donation.
From the residents of Magnolia Park.
Yes, but wasn't his pharmacist? He had his pharmacy.
In Second Ward.
Second Ward.
So, Dr. Gonzalez.
Responsible.
Well, for getting the money, of course. The help was there and all that, but he also needed money.
Yes.
He was the one that started off it.
Yeah. And about a year ago, we celebrated also.
When we erected
marker. This is a generation back where their parents were responsible making this contribution possible. And they were here to celebrate that day.
And you see, at that time in the 30s, early 30s, everybody from 5th Ward, 2nd Ward, they used to come from Baytown, from Pasadena, to celebrate here. And then Sugarland started making their own, so then some people went over there from Rosenberg and all that.
But it was natural. It was a grassroots. They could associate saying that this is our park. It's a Mexican park. Versus we knew that they wouldn't accept us at Mason Park, so this was our park right here.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Anglo people. Because we had...
Italians, Germans, some Polish.
Because at the time that we moved into the neighborhood, we still had a lot of German families, and we had Polish families, and we were like one of the few Hispanic families, like probably the first in that block. And we would, at nighttime, they would pull out their accordion and play the polkas. So my parents would join in, and before you know it, we were all in the street, in the middle of the street, and we'd be listening to Polish music, but at the same time as polkas, so it was part of our culture too. So we would enjoy each other's culture.
And that church where I attend, Immaculate Conception, that was the first Catholic church built here. But it was mostly German, Italians. When the Mexicanos started going there, they had to stand up in the back They couldn't sit in the pews, even if they were empty. Now you go over there, you don't see an Anglo. Everybody moved out. But you see Mexicanos now, we have Salvadoreños, Hondureños, and from all over. But you know, they have their reunions, and
they
come. Some of them, but they come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also the beauty of the community then was that we were owners, that yes, we had real small box type houses, but we took pride in that it was our homes. It wasn't about rental, it was about ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Families that came here were very proud of the fact, I know my parents did, when they came out here in 1917, 1918. They'd come and work here in the ship channel because they knew that the industry was moving in that direction, the economy, jobs, opportunities. Finally, we settled here in the 80th, but we took ownership and we took pride in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see a lot of transition of this community. You see people that are not, they're renters. And so the care for the neighborhood has changed tremendously. So that's why I guess too, this grassroots were strong. So now the grandchildren up and coming, now they're hoping that maybe their children, they're in the neighborhood. So you have four generations that have gone through this neighborhood. So that's, it's a lot to see that. So I'm proud that when I say I'm from the East End, I say Magnolia Park. And I take pride of that. And in our college, we have the files that we just did some digital. The 30 families, the original families that came to Houston in about the 1900s. Well, industry is your ship channel. The Southern Pacific that goes a little bit down here. Was the job market, the workforce opportunities for the families that came from Mexico, and if not from other cities of Texas.
Okay. And also like the compresses and the bagging companies. And armor fertilizer.
They were up and down the ship channel. Like
So the ships could dock right there by the port, and they would.
And the compresses where they had all this cotton, where they were.
Cotton,
The cargo shipping industry would come through.
And the warehouses.
The cotton mill would drop off.
They had the fertilizer. They had tanks of molasses.
Yes.
They used to come from Cuba. Then they moved from this side to the other side, to the city dock. Then they moved by the battleground, and now they're close to the port over there. Okay, so you want to go?
Where's your next stop?
To the Suriname Basin.
Okay.
To the Rio, where the port started.
Frank, so I just go out?
Okay.
Go back to navigation, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I turn on 75th.
Mm-hmm. We have a block here, which we think is a historical block on account of things that were built there and what happened.
What was neat about this is that if you were to drive or walk through that area in the back that was used to connect to 75th, it was like, whoa, when you went through there. So as kids would say, and we went through the back of 75th.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've been stamped and tattooed.
Yeah.
It was just a street, but there's a pass-through. I mean, you have to go through the tunnel because it's really a railroad track on top. So we'd go over there, and then, of course, my mother said, where y'all been? I said, I went to Helen's house, but we wouldn't tell her what we were doing.
This street is navigation. In 1936, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt came through here because this is one of the streets that he helped build when he started the WPA. That was to give jobs to the people that didn't have any work. You know, they were going to the soup lines to bring soup, take home to their children. No work or nothing. So he's the one that got that agency started. And there were people working on their knees, laying brick here. And the brick is still under here, under navigation, under Wayside, under Canal Street, and Harrisburg. So in 1936, he wanted to see the work that was been done, and he wanted to see the Port of Houston. So he came through here, and then through 75th Street. And my grandfather was, he was in the welcoming committee of the tour there that they have. Now from here, this is the YWCA. Here was the first dance hall, Sociedad Mutualista, and right here is where the LULAC started. Okay. Turn left here.
And the Sociedad Mutualista Benito Juarez had their dance hall there, two-story building. Of course, it was knocked down by the winds about 3 years ago. The Houston LULAC Club started right there, the first one. Council 60. My grandfather was one of the charter members there. League of United Latin American Citizens. It was a club, you know, to fight discrimination. That's what they started to do, the fighting of the discrimination, and just like a social club. Later on, they started making
it. It's kind of like the NAACP.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But in this case, it was the Latin group, and they would fight social injustices.
You heard of the Ku Klux Klan? Okay. That building in that corner, that's where they used to have their meetings. It's right there at that corner. Right there is where they used to meet. Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, Frank, I haven't been here in ages. But when the port was here, the entrance to the port.
Oh,
entrance.
Yeah. And that Jimmy Walker had a place right there in the corner. They sold barbecue, good barbecue, but it was a front for a prostitution house for the seamen.
I guess the seamen getting off the ships, yeah, and having a good time.
Mm-hmm. You see that Memphis Street, no, the other one. Yeah.
So this right here was the main
entrance. This is a turning basin. Mm-hmm. And this is where it all started.
Uh-huh.
And from here it started the compresses. You see that building, that white building up there across the bayou? That's a grain elevator. Mm-hmm. And here we're at the foot of 75th Street, where it used to be called McAdee Street. You see the barge?
Oh, yeah, here comes the barge. There's one of them right here. It's turning now.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You see that building over there? Maybe you should turn it.
That old building there? The one that's
The next street. Sure. There. Right. That's where they used to have the Coast Guard station. That's where you used to get your Coast Guard pass. They started that around the Second World War. So if you had to go through the gates there, you had to have your Coast Guard pass or else you didn't pass. All the seamen had that, and the people that work at
private
the port.
Private property, no trespassing and no dumping. See, this probably belongs to the port.
Well, I know that one belongs to the government.
Does it?
Uh-huh.
French Wingate is the only one that
warehouse.
Has a car, so.
Okay, turn to you right here. Here's where the Union Hall of the African Americans. Remember I told you about Mr. Peavy? They used to have a building right there. And those tanks there. You see, the Port of Houston here, Magnolia Park, had the first rails and railroads coming up here on account of the port, before even the city of Houston had.
This is all part of the Southern Pacific, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the street that goes to the park, but
yeah,
they closed it.
Yeah,
so we're going to have to go come back. And goodness, I haven't come through here in 50 years.
Yeah.
All you're doing
is... How come when you were a little kid, you used to come up here and...
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, it was something that I went through.
See, and then the park, this is the part that I was talking about, was in the tunnel, a bridge.
Yeah.
Now you see why the parents would say, do not come back here.
Yeah.
Imagine at nighttime, pitch dark.
That's a city boat, isn't that it?
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. You see the railroad came through here, and here was the entrance to it. Sanitation. If you want to go straight, you can go out. You can. Because I want to show where. Here, as a kid, I can remember where the Phoenix Dairy used to be. 6 blocks from your house. On Avenue 8 and 78.
Oh, yes. Oh, changes.
Huh?
You talking about changes?
Yeah, well, but the following block, you know, across the street from Salazar Printing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where Phoenix Dairy used to be.
Oh, yes?
They used to deliver kerosene, those little buggies,
oh, uh-huh,
drawn
yes
by horses,
yes,
down the street and deliver house by house.
So, Frank, do I turn?
Unless you want to go straight.
Okay, I'll go straight.
Yeah, I want to show the old city hall. Mm-hmm.
You know, the senator worked with the legislation at the state level to bring money into HISD to assure that, you know, we have the funding for bilingual education, special training for the faculty, for the teachers. And so he impacted his community by having the school system make those type of commitments. And then at the city of Houston, with the port, for example, he was able to help with the appointment of board members. Remember, it sits on the port authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful right there, because you have voice into the community that normally you wouldn't have. You know, in other words, to have a Hispanic representative to sit at the port table to make decisions, be it pollution, be it the white, you know, the when you widen the canal. But those are decisions that impact our economy here. So leadership, voice, money, funding for our educational, yeah, I'm going to stop right here, to provide that type of participation in government that we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a Mario Gallegos would do. He wouldn't let anything pass us up. You have the Budweiser beer distributors located in or about here on Navigation Street. He made sure that they make contributions as a result of being a multi-million dollar corporation. So you were here in the community, and you make donations in other communities elsewhere, even throughout the country. You're located here. You know, you're contributing to our community by giving us money, be it to education, be it from, sometimes it was funding for buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things have resulted, like the Metro line. Mario had a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Alvarado, she's our sort of state representative from this area. And they had a lot of say-so that a rail system was going to take place on Harrisburg Street, while they were going to maybe ignore Eastside, and they were going to take this rail system to another location.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have had to fight hard, long hours and hard, to assure that there's equity and parity that takes place in our community. And so this then contributes to our kids here, that all these other generations, this is like the fourth generation, that these kids continue with their education and are proud of their grassroots, and they move on to being also lawyers, engineers, teachers, and be successful with their educational and also the economic development part of the community. Yeah, the residency has not had much improvement, but the kids that are coming out of here, you know, it's just wonderful. As a college president, I get to see this. I mean, I was born, reared, raised in the East End of Houston, but as a president, I'm the role model, I'm the leader. And if they see that Irene, who came from the East End, from, you know, parents that were not educated, that if I can do it, then they can do it. And I can relate to all, you know, the needs of the community. But because of the leaders like Mario, and also Frank, who helped create some of the first social agencies that didn't exist here, they were able to maneuver HISD. Mario's mother, Olga Gallegos, was the first Hispanic from this end of town, Eastside, to represent us at the table. So now we had a voice at HISD, particularly in the bond monies. Where do you take the bond monies when they had these, the voters? The voters were us. In those days, as I said, there was a residence of the East End voted, and Olga would work hard to lend support to that. Guess what? As a result of that, her voice at the table, moving the community, we then have schools that were built out here. Edison Junior High being one of them. And now Franklin, they've done some remodeling, major overhauls. So we were able to assure that we had the equity and the parity that we so deserve, because we are voters, just as the voters of the other parts of the community, Southwest, Northwest. And so it was the voice at the table, the ability to make decisions with the decision makers, to affect policy that impacted bilingual education. In my time, there was no such thing as bilingual. Now you have, you know, programs that support bilingual ed, then you become fluent in both languages, and now you know, productive citizens and contribute as a citizen. Now you know, now you become a trailblazer. So there were pioneers, trailblazing families like the Gallegos, Ramirez, my family, Carol's family. And I'm proud of the fact that I was part of those grassroots initiatives, those pioneering days. So that's the major contributions to our community.
The overpass that Carol passed, you know, with the help of Dean Green in Manchester?
Yes.
Where the railroads would block both entrances to the Manchester edition. And through Carol fighting, about 6 years it took her. She had that overpass built, you know, where the fire trucks or ambulances, in case they ever needed it, could go over that overpass. That was one of Carol.
Yeah, and the chemical companies. Cause that's
and the chemical companies.
They're right there off of Manchester.
And refineries.
To ensure that they're also contributing to this community through scholarships, mm-hmm. and being a part of the training and development that takes place in the school. So that they're very in tune with the elementary schools, mm-hmm. and also many of our students get scholarships from these companies. Yeah, as a result of the port, you have the refineries. You have the Southern Pacific Railroad. Mm-hmm. You have transportation major, because when they drop all the cargo that they drop off the mm-hmm. ship channel, well, then that becomes your major transportation, you know, the trucking system, the logistics mm-hmm. comes into play. Well, those are huge companies that are passing through our community. So that in itself was to create an awareness to those companies that, hey, we live here. You can't just cross our tracks here and make your millions, multi-millions, and not contribute to this community that helped build this port, because many of them helped with the widening of the ship channel here. It's not just right now with the Panama Canal, previous. Mm-hmm. You know, they were employees of the port. My father was an employee of the port.
Mm-hmm. And your uncles.
And my uncles. Now you got all different type of... It's silly when a student says, well, I don't know that... Well, you got financial aid, you have backings, you have programs, you have social agencies, like this one right here in front of us, Community Family Centers. Mm-hmm. They're social, they're educational. They do a lot of training here for the GED, ABE, ESL. And so now the families have centers to come to. We didn't have the luxury of a center of this type. We had a YWCA, but that was basically it. Yeah, see, now you have where you have community residents like Frank. They were trying to do some type of housing unit off of Harrisburg recently, and the community wanted say-so. You know, mm-hmm. before you couldn't, they would just build for the sake of development, for profit-making purposes. But community, the leaders rose to the occasion. They said, mm-hmm. no, we don't want apartments. Mm-hmm. We want housing. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to do that, is it affordable housing for us? But now you have the Walgreens, CVS, companies, corporations.
Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just built down the street that we didn't have. They wouldn't dare come out here. Mm-mm. It was like, closest we do is the Gulf Freeway, 45. And that's mm-hmm. the closest. Mm-hmm. Now they have access to Kroger's, mm-hmm. to the HEB's. Things that normally would not be housed here. And so, and then Gulfgate, there was a remodeling of the mall. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, that enrichment. Mm-hmm. The economic development part of the community has taken place. With the widening of the Panama Canal, what does that mean? More jobs. Then if I put training for HVAC, electrical, mm-hmm. welding, machining, mm-hmm. corrosion, maritime logistics, I'm helping empower the community. Not me empowering, but the community is empowered to get themselves educated and enriched and excel. And then own homes. And they may move on to another community, but that's okay, as long as they get themselves educated and training that's meaningful, and they make good money. Right here at Southeast, I'm able to take these courses. And GED, ESL, ABE, they can take these classes at our campus that, you know, I've been through the same, you know, I've been through some of the experiences that they've talked about. But the door is open. Don't be afraid. Come on in. So I get excited because, you know, these kids get themselves educated. They can transfer to a four-year institution. And for those that want a short-term, we have a short-term plan. Mm-hmm. Those that want a two-year plan, we have a two-year plan. And those that are transferring, well, then they transfer to university setting. So it's all, you know, part of this being able to lend support to empower the members of this community, to make decisions and to be at key positions, like voice at the table.
That's right.
Voice at the table. Because before we didn't maybe have the voice, but his aunt, Olga Gallegos, was the first HCC board member
from the
when ISD and HCC split, because at one time we were together, one board.
Yep.
And when we split to establish our own, his aunt, which is really Mario's mother, was the first sitting there at the table to make that decision. So, you know, we're proud of that, that my family grew up with their families, mm-hmm. and my uncles, my aunts. And so they say in Houston that there's all this togetherness in the communities. You go to other communities and you don't have this sense of pride that there's something unique about Houston. We tend to honor and really we respect too, which is honor meaning that we come back to the neighborhood and buy. Mm-hmm. Like there's a discotheque, there's small shops, the barber shop, the hospital,
restaurants.
Mm-hmm. We return to our roots. You know, y'all come back and you buy from the owners here, from the small business owners. Mm-hmm. And I do. I know I come in here and I say, I'm going to go to the restaurant. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go buy this or that. I want to go buy a piñata, you know, for my grandkids. Instead of going to the other store down where I live, I come over here. I don't live about 10 minutes from my school. Mm-hmm. But I come into the barrio, get tamales and all other things. And then I still have cousins that live here, and they're not going to move. They're here for a lifetime. They're not moving.
From here to Lawndale.
Yeah, they're not going to move. No one could tell them that. Y'all going to move? Oh, no, we're going to die here.
This is the first city hall for Magnolia Park. It was a city hall, fire station, the mayor's office, and all that used to be here. We put a historical marker right there.
It's right on Avenue F, okay? And it says the city of Magnolia Park was incorporated on July 1st, 1913. Then on October the 16th, 1926, the city of Houston annexed the city of Magnolia Park. This facility then served the Houston Fire Department as fire station number 20 and as a regional battalion headquarters. A Houston Police Department substation was also located here. The building has also served as a Harris County precinct voting location.
Would you like to see the first jail?
First jail.
Yeah, here, there it is. That was the jailhouse. When Mayor Welch donated it to us, here to the community, Felix Salazar asked him for one favor. He said, please don't knock that beer. That's where my grandfather used to spend it.
Oh.
They were catching him drunk and bringing me here.
Goodness. Story.
Yeah, I'm going to show you the first Catholic, you know, for Broadway and Harrisburg game. Okay, you can turn left.
See, Miss Eva Laredo was a principal here at the
That's a Gallego. That's for Mario's daddy. Yeah. Was named after Mario's senior. Ahí, mira. Okay, let's go there.
Oh, that's
the marker.
Well, Frank, you just know all these historical markers, huh?
Huh?
I said, you know all these historical
markers. Well, we put them up. Well, actually, I didn't attend this church. I come here on account of the seniors, but she did attend it. That's the reason I want her to say. First, they sponsored the Lady of Guadalupe. Yeah. And after that, they sponsored Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then they sponsored the Queen of Peace. In fact, they gave them the building. They moved the building, the original building over there. And then they sponsored San Alfonso.
St. Alfonso's also.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Powerful little church here.
Yeah, oh yeah, and that was the first one. Now, we'll take you on a little drive. We're gonna go down, before we go on the overpass, we go to the right. We can come out and go on East Navigation, and we can show you our church.
Our historic.
Of course, that one doesn't have a historical marker. The one that has the historical marker there is Days of Out of School.
But it has a lot of memories to me.
Yeah.
Now, Frank is right in that this type of church location and all that was for an Italian family. See, my in-laws were Italian background. Mm-hmm. And guess what? This is the church that they went to. They wouldn't dare go to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Oh, no.
This was the church for them. See, I'm from here. My parents were like down the street from here.
Uh-huh.
So we were more towards the end of the neighborhood.
Right there is where you turn right. Proler Steel is going to make some welcome to Magnolia Park signs for us.
Are they?
Free of charge. They want to do something. One of them is going to be right here.
Yeah.
You see, this is where the Strump Compress used to be.
At the end of Harrisburg Street. And of course, there's a bridge over us.
The train has to be passing.
Oh.
All of that. It used to be Compress and warehouses. Mm-hmm. You see, all of this used to be, and I would love it, the New Year's when the ships used to honk their horns.
Yes.
Oh boy, we'd always be waiting for that. This was warehouse down here where Anderson Clayton had the classing room where they would class the cotton on 76th and right. And then Gulf Atlantic Warehouse where the compress were.
Little beer joint was.
Yeah, Well, you see the seamen would get up there.
Oh, they come right there, huh?
Yeah, all of this here, right where those tanks are at, Armor Fertilizer used to be there. You see, that's the entrance.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can make a U-turn.
Yeah.
And that was 75th Street that we passed earlier. It's right there.
Like a little tour of the city here, huh?
Well, it was a little city at one time. When was it started? 1913 to 1926. The National Hispanic Woman's, when they started here at YWCA.
Okay, now I know the one that started here, the local group, it was the first Hispanic group.
And it started right here.
Yes, right here.
Right
there
at the Y. That's the reason we call this a historic block.
That was a long time ago, but now that then the one I would belong to was not the first, but it was like we were part of the Y, but it wasn't the first.
Well,
turn on. What's this? The side street here. Is there?
You can go
Hedrick?
Through here.
Yeah.
This is Mario Gallegos. Used to live. Before.
Oh, see, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I told my.
And Ventura Alonso live across the tracks.
Uh-huh. Oh, everybody's at the park now. Oh, it's so nice to have the families here with the kids.
Oh yeah, and those.
Yeah, it gets packed. Yeah. This is nice. So.
Okay, Irene. Stay in touch.
All right. Thank you then.
Thank you.
Bye.